Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Jeremiah, chapter 18, verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house." Now, do you know that the first thing God had to do with people was to reach into the clay, pull up some dirt, and begin to shape and mold? He's the potter. "And there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it." Praise the Lord. Hey, you don't just get one shot. When we do things wrong, he can make you over again. "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." Now, I got to clear something up. I meant to do this before. People have asked me for notes to my messages, and my response has been that I don't use them. And my conscience was getting to me, so I want to clarify this. I do use notes, but they're only useful to me. I write down 6 or 7 words on a piece of paper and to keep me on track. And I've gone back to preach sermons I had preached a year or two before, and I could not figure out what I meant by my notes. So anyway, okay, so he is the potter, and we are the clay. It's very important to understand that, because people sometimes, we can, at times, and sometimes people for their whole life, get that confused, and they think that they are the potter, and he is the clay, and they can kind of make God into whatever they want him to be. But he is who he is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that is a good thing. The Midianites in the Old Testament had come, and they were oppressing God's people, and they would come in, the Bible says, like locusts, in number and in attitude, and they would take the food that the Israelites had grown, and they would leave just enough for them to exist, to grow some more so they could come back again. And this had been going on for a while. And Gideon, he was making some food to hide it from the Midianites. And the Bible says that the angel of the Lord came to him and said this: "The Lord is with you, thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon said what Gary Coleman used to say to Todd Bridges on the TV show Different Strokes: "What you talking about, Willis? You've got the wrong person. This is a case of mistaken identity." But see, he's the potter. He can make you whatever he wants. What you are now doesn't have to be what you will be. So he was giving Gideon an identity, and Gideon was saying, no, I am not. My house, my family is the least of all the families in my tribe, and I am the least, the lowest ranking in my family. Identity. You see what I'm saying? My Uncle John, he's a great uncle, he grew up in poverty, and over time, through hard work and all that, he became a millionaire, and he always had the lights off by 8 o'clock, not because he liked darkness, but because that cost too much money. 1 minute showers, yes, because that costs too much money if you go over that. Hot water is expensive. He would drive home from work and he'd park his car in the driveway, lift the garage door, put the car in neutral, and push it into the garage to save money on fuel. He wasn't stupid. He was smart. But even though his financial situation had changed, his mind had not. He still identified as someone who was poor. So he lived that way. There really was no difference. A lot of what people do in their behavior, good or bad, whether they succeed or fail, has more to do with how they identify with themselves, how they perceive themselves, than with willpower or whatever else. We act in accordance to how we perceive ourselves. We behave that way. It flows from that. When the Pharisees came to Jesus and asked him, why did you heal that man with the withered hand? Don't you know it's the Sabbath day? And the reason that Jesus did that is because his identity, who he was a healer. And healers heal people, Sabbath day or no. It's not, my identity is not like Superman and Clark Kent, where one day I'm one thing and the next day I'm another. And it's like a wardrobe or something. No, he was the healer every day of the week. He was consistent with who he was. It flowed from his identity. When Joseph was given that awesome coat of many colors, as the Bible described it, it was a coat symbolic of royalty. It wasn't a simple case of a father favoring his son and liking him better than the rest. It was God identifying Joseph as royalty. This is who you will be.
Yeah, cool.
Right. A taste of the future from the potter. When they poured the oil over David's head, identity, a king. When we talk about the plan of God on our lives and who we're going to be, it is very important to identify with God on that. But that's not the only thing. The other part of this is experience. David and Joseph didn't get to just jump into royalty. They had some experiences to go through. There's a famous preacher in the United Pentecostal Church. He's like one of these rock star preachers. And he really is, he's great. He really is a great teacher and a great preacher. He's in Wichita, Kansas. His name is Brother Cornwell. And one time, Brother Cornwell was teaching, and afterward, a young preacher identified with Brother Cornwell and thought, "That's me." And he went up to him and he said, "Will you lay your hands on me and pray for me that God would put the spirit, the passion, and the anointing that's on you upon me?" And Brother Cornwell said, "Sure." Put his hands on this young man's head, and he began to pray. And he said something like this: "God, I'm asking you to put and take this young man through everything I've been through." Whoa, time out. Can't you just kind of put it on me? That's not what I asked. I asked you to put the passion and the spirit and the anointing that's on you, that God would put it on me. And Brother Cornwell said something that was dead on the money. He said, "How do you think I got it?" Peter, because that's who you are. You're not Simon anymore. You're Peter. That's your identity. Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. You're going to go through some stuff. But I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, when you've become Peter, strengthen your brethren. It's identity and experience. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. 40 days in that pressure cooker. The Spirit put him there and kept him there for 40 days. He might have thought what the children of Israel thought when they were led by the Spirit into the wilderness. "Did you bring me here to die?" "No. I brought you here to live who you are." And when the Spirit, that same Spirit, led him out, it led him out in power. In power. We are not who we are becoming. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers, his own family, and he was sold as a slave. Hey, wait a minute, didn't you get the memo? I'm royalty, not a slave. He was falsely accused of sexual assault, and thrown into jail for 2 years. And all of that, through all of it, through that pressure and that experience, some good, some bad, none of that could stop the plan of God. What I'm saying is this, that his identity given to him by God and the plan of God on his life was going to win out in the end. And everything that was thrown at him that was meant as evil, God used it for good and made him the man he became. You know, when Samson, when he went from being an alpha male to an invisible man in a moment, it didn't happen. There's a long process there, but when it happened, the straw that broke the camel's back was in a moment. And when all of that happened, they cut his hair and they took his eyes. But the Bible says that his hair began to grow. And they were having this big celebration. The Philistines were in this big auditorium, and they said, let's go get Samson and bring him out here and let's make fun of him. And they took him out, brought him in to the auditorium. And what they did, though, was they made a mistake in identity. Samson was not the potter, he was the clay. It was not Samson that burned up their fields. It was not Samson that killed 1,000 of their men. It was not Samson that picked up the gates of Gaza and carried them to Hebron. That was the potter. And the potter can do with the clay what he's always done with the clay at any time. And they took his hands of clay and put them against the two pillars that held up the entire structure. And the potter brought the house down. They could take his eyes, they could take his status, they could take his hair, they could never, ever take his identity. He was still Samson. And they could never take the plan of God off of his life. You know, I see people all the time that drag their bodies around. They're not alive in their bodies. That sounds maybe new agey, but it's true. There's no life in their eyes. I don't know what's happened. Did they feel at one time like those women felt when they said, when Jesus talked to us and told us about the future and his plans, our hearts burned within us. What he was going to do with us, that ministry, that calling, that plan. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered the heart, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. It's never too late. If you're breathing, you're still in the game. And just because others or ourselves have misidentified who we are or forgotten somehow, he hasn't forgotten. He's not done yet. If there's one thing I've learned about God, is that he is absolutely, tenaciously relentless. Passion, fire, the plan of God that is not just like a plan that men make and they write it on a piece of paper. He puts it in your heart. It's alive. Yes. For I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans of peace. Not of harm, to give you a future and a hope. Amen. Clap your hands, everybody. He's God of the day. He's God of the night. He's God in spring, summer, fall and winter, and every time and every season has a purpose. And he knows the way that you take. Amen. I feel like jumping out of my skin. I don't know about you. I do kind of know about you. I know this. You were made in his image, after his likeness. He put his spirit in you. He put his name on you. You are his, and if you don't believe it, if nobody else believes it, the spirit gives witness that you are. Amen. The future belongs to the people of God. Doesn't belong to the devil. Doesn't belong to the Antichrist. It belongs to the children of God. Amen. Nate, I don't know if you got anything to say, anything to do. That's it? I'll.
Oh, I'm good. I'm with you.
Okay. All right. I want to pray for you today as you leave. And thank you for coming. Lord Jesus, I thank you today for all you have done, are doing. You are alive forevermore. And that even when we mess up, you can turn it right around. Thank you, Jesus, for the Spirit that worketh in us. Praise your name, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.